This is a Triple J podcast.
What is happening in Iran at the moment is extraordinary. A massive uprising has been underway for weeks, months. Citizens taking to the streets, demanding an end to the Islamic regime that's ruled the country for decades. There have been brutal crackdowns, communication blackouts. Family here have been unable to reach their loved ones for days or weeks at a time. You've got the US President Donald Trump threatening military action, tensions between Iran and Israel at boiling point, and Iran's supreme leader warning if anyone attacks his country, there's going to be an all-out war. But behind all of this are everyday people. I'm Dave Marchese. This is Hack's Long Listen for the Week, a conversation with an Iranian Australian. It's not known how many people have been killed in Iran recently. The official death toll from Iranian authorities sits at just over 3,000. But human rights experts, doctors, and others say it could be as high as 20, 30, even 40,000 or more. To raise awareness, people have been taking to the streets here in Australia every week. But many of those at the protests say they feel like nobody's listening.
It's disappointment, it's frustration. Well, we're not being seen, we're not being heard, and that seems to always be the case.
In a moment, you're going to hear what it's like to speak out against the regime here in Australia.
I have been under watch, I have been surveillance, and this isn't just me, it's all the Iranian activists.
And why this local government councillor decided to leave the Greens over what she says was a failing to speak out about what's happening in Iran.
You have to be condemning the regime. I had to draw the line somewhere.
Look, it's a really personal account. You can sense the frustration and the sadness in this one. Here's my chat with Iranian-Australian Tina Khodrastami. Tina, thank you very much for joining us on Hack.
Of course, thanks for having me.
How are you feeling about what's happening in Iran at the moment?
Those of us in the diaspora were feeling numb. You know, a wave of emotions hitting us every day. It's anger, it's sadness, it's disappointment, it's frustration. But we're not being seen, we're not being heard, and that seems to always be the case.
I want to unpack some of that frustration in a little bit, but firstly, I want to get a bit of an understanding of your relationship with Iran, because you did flee as a five-year-old. What were the circumstances there? Why did your family decide to leave?
My mum was a Baha'i, and my dad was very politically active throughout the revolution, and so was his family. So growing up in Iran, I wouldn't have had the chance to go to school. If I did go to school by, you know, some miraculous way, I would have been shunned by everyone in society. I would have my own separate seat within the classroom because I would be Baha'i.
And can you explain exactly what that means?
The faith, yeah. So the regime, it's a theocracy, and it hasn't only forced religion onto people. It's also taken away the freedom and option for them to look into other religions as well. And one of the biggest religions that's constantly been under suppression in Iran is the Baha'i faith. Baha'is in Iran have been leaving the country for decades. You don't get the chance to study. You don't get the chance to work. You can't even have your family's bodies buried in a graveyard. They will dig it up.
I imagine you still have a lot of family in Iran, Tina. Is it quite a few cousins? Is it grandparents? Who's still there?
Most of my dad's family is still there. My mother's family, because they were all Baha'i, they did have to all flee eventually. But my father's family remain within the country. Those who I am not in contact with, it's partly because of technology and the issues we're having, being in touch with everyone in Iran, but partly also because every time we do talk, they get interrogated. Because of my position, because of all the advocacy I've been doing in the last few years, I have been under watch. I have been surveillance. And this isn't just me. It's all the Iranian activists. You know, when I stopped at the petrol station, the person then threatened me and said that they know where I live. And that led to me having to move out from my house.
And did you report these things to police?
Yeah, I did. When my father used to tell me that the regime intimidates us, he wasn't exaggerating, because as an Australian, I never thought that would happen to us. And when he would talk to me about it, I wouldn't take him seriously. And then it happens to you and you finally understand it's real. The way you live your life changes afterwards. My name on Uber even isn't the same. I am so fearful of being surveillanced in some way. This is nothing in comparison to the realities that people in Iran face every single day. Our families who speak to us back home, they do get interrogated. They do have threats sent over to them. They are intimidated. I remember my grandmother, every time she would call to speak to my father, maybe a week or two afterwards, there would be people raiding her house, going through her personal items. This was only a few years ago.
So you speaking to me right now, Tina, are you worried this could be putting your family at risk?
Absolutely. I made a commitment to my community when I said that I'll put my hand up and I'll advocate. We are saying we can't ever go back to Iran again. We are saying we're very selfishly putting our family within Iran at risk. We're severing ties with a lot of people.
It must be a very hard decision to make.
To be honest, it's not hard because you look at your parents and you see what they've lost. You look at the elders in the community and how they're just counting down the days they have left on this planet and thinking if they'll ever get a chance to go back to Iran again. These are the people that I think of when I decided to make this decision.
Can you explain what life is like for people in Iran at the moment?
I'd like to first say I'm not giving this explanation as someone who holds a certain political position regarding Iran. And I'm saying this because many people, non-Iranians, have flooded my inboxes and said to me what they think is happening in Iran. They are telling us Iranians that we have no idea. This has nothing to do with Israel or Palestine. This is just to do with Iran and the Islamic regime dictating over the country for the last 47 years. What's happening within the country, according to people who are actually there right now, there's a massacre. 40,000 is nothing.
And we don't know the true death toll at this point. No. The figures that have been put out by authorities in Iran are about 3,000, I believe, but many human rights groups are saying that they think that is a gross underestimate of the true figures.
Even the wounded who end up in hospital, there are very many different operatives going within the hospitals taking their lives while they're on life support. So even the hospital is no longer safe. Doctors helping the wounded are being killed because they won't remain silent. This is all very real. This all happened during the revolution as well. So it's nothing new to us. And this will keep happening until such a regime is put aside, not just by Iranians, but globally. You know, we've got these rallies every week. Iranians are gathering. We haven't had numbers like that ever for the Iranian community, but no one knows about it. No one's hearing about it. No one's talking about it. Meanwhile, the death toll is rising in Iran. Meanwhile, the diaspora is giving up and finding it more and more difficult to be contributing members of Australian society. And meanwhile, the regime is getting stronger.
Do you sympathise with some of the comments that Venezuelans were making earlier this year, Tina, when they were also celebrating the removal of Nicolas Maduro, the leader of Venezuela, but they were telling us, we were having conversations with various people saying that they felt like there wasn't space for them to express themselves or their relief, or they thought that their views were not being given enough attention and they were worried about others weighing in and not having the full story of what it was like living in Venezuela. Is that what it feels like as an Iranian?
Yes, a lot of Iranians within the diaspora could really relate. This conversation about Western imperialism. Look, it's a very real thing. I was raised in a left-leaning household and I've grown up to become more of a centrist. But I say this so that I can explain that when I come here and say fighting against Western imperialism isn't as important as removing an oppressor as bad of the regime, there needs to be some weight to that. We can't pick and choose which oppressor is worth condemning and which isn't. We have to speak up on all the oppressors.
Do you feel let down by members of the Australian community?
I understand that Australians are fed up of this constant conversation of things happening overseas. I understand that a lot of Australians these days, they just want to focus on what's happening internally within the country, concerns that they have themselves for their own lives. But at the same time, I have a lot of frustration for the people who are attacking us.
Who is attacking you?
I would say the far left and the far right.
What are some of the things, like when you talk about the false information that you're hearing, are there any particular things that have concerned you?
I have been called a Mossad agent. I have been called a Zionist. At the same time, I have been called a sympathizer of terrorist groups. I am getting hit with these labels from both sides. But people don't seem to understand that when Iranians go out and have a protest and there might be an Israeli flag there, it isn't because they are trying to push a certain political agenda. It's because the Iranian diaspora hasn't got support. We don't have anyone else reaching out to us. Can you blame Iranians for saying, I'm going to push aside any personal belief I might have about the politics to do with Israel because I need support, I need representation, I need advocacy? But then you also have the progressive left coming to myself, coming to many people and saying, if I see an Israeli flag at your rally, that means that you support the genocide, which means I can't attend your rally.
And how does that make you feel?
Unheard. It makes us all feel like we're yelling at the top of our lungs and there's no sound coming out. It's horrible to hear that people are okay remaining silent on a massacre just because it doesn't fit into whatever narrative they would like to push forward. I am an Iranian who is also against genocide. I am an Iranian who supports innocent Palestinians. I also support innocent Israelis. I also support innocent Iranians. Two things can exist at once. You can stand against genocide and at the same time stand against a theocratic dictatorship that's been oppressing people for 47 years.
Can I ask you how you feel about the United States and how the US has handled this issue so far? Because we know last year we saw the bombing of nuclear sites in Iran. There have been threats of further action. What are your thoughts on US intervention in Iran?
There are mixed thoughts within the diaspora as to what we would like to see happen. But we all know a revolution cannot come to a successful completion with the overthrowing of a dictatorship without external help. We want this help to be peaceful. We're not advocating for anyone to come in and bomb the whole country and we lose innocent lives. But yes, we are understanding of the fact that we need interference. We need help. While people are dying and suffering and losing every hope they have within a free tomorrow, we cannot be talking about Western imperialism. And if you are, you are very privileged.
What do you say to those people who might be thinking, look, I do support the freedom of people in Iran, but I am worried about what could happen if Western forces were to push in? How do you respond to that?
So are Iranians. We're also worried about what's going to happen next when there's a political vacuum. But people within Iran are chanting about the return of the Shah. We're also hearing chants about creating a system where we have a government in exile, where we can bring together all the best brains within the Iranian diaspora so that they can create some type of a government for the future of Iran. People in Iran are chanting that they want a secular democracy for the future. How do we get there? If we knew, we would have gotten there by now.
Tina, I mentioned that you are in local government. You're a councillor in a Sydney council, in the Ryde Council. You were part of the Greens, but last year made the decision to leave the Greens. Can you explain what was behind that decision, why you decided to leave?
Look, I'll start by saying I joined the Greens because they supported us a lot during the Women Like Freedom movement. I'm an architect. I wouldn't even have ended up in politics. You know, I too stand against genocide. I want to keep supporting minority groups. I agree with maybe 80% of their policies in comparison to other political parties. And so I remained on the party for about 2 years and I did my work in the background. I worked a lot with David Shoebridge and we were able to support a lot of refugees, not just within the Iranian community, but a broader community. And that's really important to me as a refugee myself. But when the 12-day war took place between Israel and Iran, I had an expectation of the party I was representing. I urged them to make a statement about how the regime has not provided any aid or support for its people while they were getting bombed. I urged them to talk about how prosecutions are still taking place. While there was a war happening within the country, people were being hung. Women were still being arrested for their hair showing. I urged them to talk about the role the regime played in matters even getting to that point. But the only thing they wanted to talk about was Israel. You can talk about Israel, but you have to be condemning the regime and all they do to their people. I had to draw the line somewhere.
Well, I'll take you to a statement that David Shoebridge put out a couple of weeks ago in relation to Iran. He said that the Greens do work in solidarity with Iranian diaspora and for the ongoing fight for freedom in Iran, also added that the US and its allies are hijacking the protests in Iran as a cause for war. What do you make of that statement?
Where is the solidarity, first of all? At the very least, if they wanted to stand in solidarity with our community, they would have reached out, no?
Would you like to see more progressives in particular talking about human rights in Iran?
Absolutely. I mean, I was a progressive myself. We care, we have empathy, we care about minority groups, we care about representation and identity and freedom and justice. And if you care about all those things, why aren't you speaking about Iran? Put aside your opinions about seeing Israeli flags at protests. Put all that aside. People in Iran have no rights to anything to do with their identity. It's not just religion being shoved down their throats. They don't have a right to any expression regarding their identity. They have no rights at all. Yet you choose to remain silent on their oppression. You choose to not acknowledge the lack of human rights within that country. If you are a person that does that, you cannot call yourself a progressive. You are really isolating yourself within an echo chamber and you're only feeding yourself intel that's very selective, morally speaking. And I guess that's the most comfortable position to be in. It's very challenging to understand that there are nuances, especially regarding this region within the Middle East. I'm not chasing clout. I'm not looking for followers. I'm just looking to broadcast voices coming from inside the country. And I'm trying to inform and educate people who are in the West. You can't just form a conclusion based on a few reels you've seen online in Instagram.
Tina, would you like to go back to Iran?
Absolutely. My boyfriend's going to laugh about this. We've had an argument in the last few weeks because I actually wanted to go back and help right now. And he was like, that's not going to happen. But this is something that most of us want to do. Most of us want to go to Iran right now and help people. But even putting the revolution aside, that's my home. And Australia is an amazing country. I will forever be grateful to all the opportunities I've had, my family's had, because of this country. But end of the day, Iran shapes who I am.
Tina Khodrastami, thanks for being on Hack.
Of course, thanks for having me.
Yeah, really personal account there from Tina. And remember, if you liked that chat, subscribe to this pod. We're bringing you interviews like that every single week. You can also go follow us on socials on Instagram, TikTok, at Triple J Hack. And if you want to join the conversation, remember, Hack is also on your radio from 5:30 every weekday on Triple J. That's all for now. I'll catch you next time. Hack.